Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, let go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Lot to talk about on a Monday. Will be the December 8th edition of the show. Grateful to be here. I am Jason Smith. Memphis football's got a new coach. I'm going to talk about it with my partner, John Martin. It was the biggest news probably over the weekend. And in a big news weekend, let's be real, you talk about college sports, CFP is set. My gosh, look who's on top in terms of the number one seed. But John Martin's here. Brad Carson is here. Excited to be with you guys. I don't even know where to start. We do have a professional basketball team in town. It won two games over the weekend. Memphis basketball got a nice win over Baylor, I thought, at home over the weekend. What am I leaving out? Oh, yeah. Bears lose. Came up short in their chance to make a statement against the Green Bay Packers. Thanks, Caleb Williams. DJ Moore was running wide open. Do you know who he is? Doesn't feel like it anymore. I've moved on. There were much more relevant wins for teams. Although Green Bay's was. Josh Allen in the snow. Did you see him?
Amazing.
Burrow, what happened? Hadn't thrown a pick all season.
Yeah.
It's going kind of nuts in that one. I'll tell you what. I think when I did it, we didn't spend much time on it. I said, this Houston team's won a few in a row. Defense is good. And now look at it. They put the freaking dagger.
It's pretty close.
In the Chiefs last night.
It's pretty
close.
Just,
we have to continue to monitor this Houston team. I don't like what's happening offensively with them. Nothing consistent, but that defense is real, bro.
I mean, going on the road and winning at Kansas City in a game that they had to win to stay alive.
Did you see the way that Patrick came out beating his chest?
Yeah.
He knew they had to give it everything in that one. Chris Jones came alive in that game. It felt like sort of that sort of last stand.
Yes, because they got it tied back at 10 in the second half. Like, all right, here's where they, you know,
they
find
knew
a way.
They knew it was last stand. They gave it everything they had, and yet Houston's defense, wow.
Yeah, some really peculiar decision making from Andy Reid, you have to say. Going for it on fourth and two with what, 7 minutes left in the game from your own 30?
Yep.
In a game where you had kind of flipped, right? I mean, Houston had not, I think, at that point gotten a first down in the second half.
I think he thought he had momentum, and I think it was the wrong call.
Yes. Don't overrate momentum. It's not a tangible thing. You know,
I think you still have
to play the field position game against a team that you kept getting off the field.
I'm with you. I thought it reeked of desperation.
I would have even punted it on the second time they went for fourth down, fourth and four, with, you know, 4 minutes left. I would have still played the field position game. But again, it was not to be. Kansas City. I think they're clinging. They're going to have to win out, and then probably even still get some help. But
crazy.
But I do think they control a little bit of that because they play the Chargers again. They play the Broncos again. So
division's over, though, right?
And
they had won that how many straight times?
Yes.
Nine or something.
Have the Broncos clinched?
I don't know.
I think they're close. I think they're really close to clinching.
Yeah, well, this seems like coming back to win the division.
Again, that ending in Vegas, very controversial. We'll get into that.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Yeah, we'll get into all that today on the show. Memphis football has a hire. It is not Jerry Mack. It is not Dan Mullen. It is Southern Miss head coach Charles Huff. Memphis announced that today. We will talk about that, just the developments, what we think of it, what we make of it, all that in just a little bit. Respect Burgers, 1 o'clock. A lot going out today, it feels like. A lot of big-time Nuts and Guts performances over the weekend.
Yeah, and feel free. If you've got something I leave off the grill, then feel free to throw some on. It was a big weekend.
Oh, I got one.
Okay.
I got a big one.
I notice you don't do many disrespect dogs anymore.
Right, well, you know, we're trying to be positive in 2026, you know?
See, I like that.
But
the world is full of disrespect.
That's right.
We need more of the respect.
That's exactly right.
I love it, John.
But I will say this. If there's, like, an egregious case, then those will get, you know, boiled.
Throw them on. Okay, we'll boil them hot.
These get boiled. These don't get grilled, bro. Mm-hmm. All right, they're disrespect glizzy. So we'll do that at 1 o'clock. And then Jeff Calkins is going to join us at 1:25. He wrote about the Charles Huff hire up at DailyMemphian.com. So busy show today. The Memphis football search has officially concluded. I didn't see an introductory press conference time. Did I miss that?
I don't think we have the time. We know it's Wednesday.
Okay, it will be Wednesday. Got it.
Yeah, I think it's the details to be announced, pretty sure.
All right, so it will be Charles Huff. Of course, Charles Huff, 7-5 last year at Southern Miss. Jason, let me make sure I get all the nuts and bolts here of the next Memphis head coach.
So what's your first pick?
I guess I did mention his name.
Didn't you tweet that?
I didn't tweet it.
Okay.
I didn't tweet it.
Come out on the show. So
but I did talk about it on the show. I know that. And, of course, he came to Southern Miss after 4 years at Marshall, where he did lead Marshall to a 10-win season and a first-place finish in the Sun Belt in 2024. And I think that's the year, or maybe it was the two years before that. But at some point at Marshall, he beat Notre Dame, which, you know, is an absolutely massive thing on his record. 1 year at Southern Miss, they had won one game the year prior to him showing up, and he brings, you know, I assume some of the best players from that Marshall team over that won 10 games, and he turns it around and gets to a bowl game for the first time in 3 years there, and now he is headed to Memphis.
Was the 22 team.
22, that's the one that beat
9-14.
Notre Dame. Yeah. Comes to Memphis with a bevy of both NFL and, you know, SEC Power Four experience, coached Saquon Barkley at Penn State.
Yep.
Was at Mississippi State for a year. Then he went over to Alabama with Nick Saban for a couple of seasons. Then got the head job at Marshall, Southern Miss. And here we go.
Yep.
So I think Jeff put it really well. I mean, he's the most qualified in terms of experience head coach that Memphis has hired since Rex Dockery in 1983. And that's a long time ago. You know, I know. Memphis hired Rip Shearer from James Madison,
JMU,
but at that point,
lower level.
Exactly, it was FCS. Right. Now they're going to the playoff.
Shout out to them.
They're going to playoff. How about that? We'll get into that as well because people are pissed. People are really, really mad today, and I worry a little bit about it. But
sure,
we'll talk about it. But for now, Charles Huff, your next coach at the University of Memphis. Not Dan Mullen, not Jerry Mack. What do we think?
The more you know. You read about him, the more you, and many already had and gone quite, you know, all the way through the resume. I've done that last week. But the more you read about sort of, I don't know, how revered he is now because of that resume, having worked under guys like Saban, Franklin, you love the respect for him in the business. I think that matters. The fact that, listen, felt like I watched a CUSA championship on Friday night for nothing, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. So the fact that he's not coming on, you know, that he's not coming off of a championship, I think is perhaps a lot of folks that don't like this hire are using that against him. But I would go very quickly back to look at the respect level, look at what he did with Marshall, look at, frankly, the turnaround at Southern Miss, you know, very quickly from what they were. And I just think like we said last week, getting out of here, and I'll bottom line it this way. I think all three of those guys that we had talked a lot about, Huff, Mack, Mullen, who turns out wasn't ever really a serious candidate, at least going to Joan Dillon with the commercial appeal, and I believe that. I said, I think they can all probably do a better job than Ryan Serfield.
Yep.
And I do think there's a chance here. I do, because of his resume, because of what he's done, and now because of the resources he's going to inherit, best he's ever had. I think you could end up here, this being not just a guy who's going to do better than Silverfield, get you conference championships, but a home run. A guy who's on the way up, a guy who's respected in the industry, and if he does what he's supposed to do here at Memphis with these resources, what are we talking about, a $5 to $6 million roster is what I read from Jonah, if that's sort of where we're at for next year with the roster, then he's going to be on his way up.
Yep.
And he'll be a future Power Four head coach, just like Ryan Silverfield, who in the end didn't get the job done in terms of meeting expectations here, and yet still flipped it into an SEC job. Charles Huffman end up being a home run. So yep. I'm excited to hear from him Wednesday. And again, the more I think about it, the more I like it.
I think he'll be great. I really do. And I think once people hear from him, I think they will be compelled to get season tickets and get involved with the program. I think he's going to win a lot of people over on Wednesday. That is my prediction. Now, how long he's here? Don't know. You know, I mean, I'm not going to go out on any kind of limb and say that he's going to be here for 3 to 4 years. I don't think that's really the objective, right? I mean, I think the objective is to kill it and then get a power.
I could care less,
right?
To be honest with you.
Because I think, again, every time that somebody comes here and gets a power four job, it just makes your job more credible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just does. Until you get onto that side, you know, you have to be the best that you can be, which is, I think, hey, this is a place where you come 2 years, boom, power four job. Like, that's fantastic. Get to the playoff for now, hoping that does not change. But, yes, for now, still have access to the playoffs. So, he's a winner. I mean, he's taken over really hard jobs. That's the thing. Yeah. Marshall, not an easy job. Southern Miss, after a one-win season with probably no NIL, and maybe Memphis doesn't have the most money in the league, but certainly I would bet it has the top two money in the league behind South Florida, and it will get more money, I think, as a result of this hire, because I think people, again, will be compelled to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he goes from two places where he's had no NIL to a place where he's going to have, you know, relatively speaking, all of it. I think he's going to absolutely do a great job. Obviously, I don't know who his quarterback is going to be.
Mm.
That's why I was warming up to the Jerry Mack idea. Amari Odom was fantastic in that Conference USA championship game.
Yep.
But obviously, I think, and I said the whole time, I thought Charles Huff was a very viable option. In terms of the weighting of it, right, because you're like, if it was Huff, why didn't you get this done on Wednesday or Thursday? Because he wasn't playing. He wasn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What I did hear was that they were waiting on Blake Baker, the LSU defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
He was deciding between Memphis, Tulane, and staying at LSU. He ultimately opted to stay at LSU late Friday night to the tune of $3 million.
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty sick
mm-hmm.
to be a coordinator making $3 million, which is probably more than Charles Huff is going to make at Memphis as the head coach.
Yeah.
But that's the way it goes in the power leagues, especially the SEC. So I think that they weren't waiting on the Conference USA championship. It was they were waiting on that decision from Blake Baker.
Yeah.
He happened to give it on Friday night, and then Memphis, you know, made the decision and went ahead with Charles Huff. But I think it's going to be a great hire. I think people are going to be excited about it. And all he's got to do is win, and he's done that everywhere he's been.
Might not know his quarterback, but look, I mean, surely he's going to have some great running backs with his, you know, past background. I mean, worked with Saquon and Najee and being considered one of the best recruiters in the game. You know, and that's with the resources, again, I would underline that Memphis going to have the best he's ever had. I'm sure he's going to go out and find, if he can't retain what's already on Memphis' roster, and we'll see with that. We've already had our doubts in terms of trying to keep this together. A lot of these guys are recruited because Ryan Silverfield and the understanding there, along with the money. He'll go out and find a quarterback. I don't have any doubt because of his ability. His ties across the country,
yep.
Just in terms of now the resume where he's been,
yep.
And the ability, the resources, he'll find a quarterback as well.
Yep.
This will be better. It has to be at this point. It has to be. Memphis can't afford it not to be. This will be better than Ryan Silverfield. And yes, if South Florida is first in terms of investment level and what they're spending, then you need to, yes, every year be competing with them for the conference title.
That's right.
I know, I'm not sure that Tulane didn't set itself back. With its hire, we can get to what everybody's done. The USF hire, I might have a little bit of a different perspective or at least an opinion of that now based on what I saw over the weekend of Ohio State. And so I use all that to say, just kind of watching, I feel pretty good about this and about, you know, the job that we believe Charles Huff can get done at Memphis. You talk about hard jobs is what he's had.
Yep.
Guys, with the resources here, this conference that just got cleaned out of all the top coaches – this is, in many ways, an easy college football job in terms of access to 100%. The college, to the CFP for now. You know, what's up with that? How long are you still going to have it as a group of five, group of six? We'll see. There's some mad folks, like you said. Hopefully that's going to continue. But, yeah, no, this is can be easy
yes.
with what's been given to you. You need excitement, too. Let's be real. He needs to fire some folks up as you go into this newly renovated stadium. You know, you need juice right from the top. You don't need people trying to decide on whether or not you're the guy. So hopefully he can fire folks up in terms of that opening press conference on Wednesday.
I think he will.
They said he's pretty intense.
And if you go back and you watch some interviews of him and some things he said. I watched when he was introduced at Southern Miss. He said people call this the sleeping giant. Talking about Southern Miss. He said, I think it is a giant. I mean, I'm excited to see what he says about Memphis. Let's make sure he doesn't use that same line. You know, he'll be docked points if he uses the sleeping giant line. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll say that, though, because Memphis is not a sleeping giant. We know that they are very much awake now, and they can be a perennial playoff team so long as that access exists. Look, people got their expectations really, really high, and they get focused on names, people that they know. And they don't know Charles Huff. They don't watch Marshall football. They don't watch Southern Miss football. That's not a household name. But he's a guy that is going to win because that is what he does. And I will bet on the guy that wins 7 games at Southern Miss and 10 games at Marshall. I will bet on that guy winning at Memphis. I just will. I wasn't in the interview room. I don't know what his vision for the program is. But, you know, I think, you know, you extrapolate the results that he's already gotten at the stops he's been in, and I think Memphis fans are, look, it's December. It doesn't matter. You're not playing any football games. Whether somebody wins or loses the press conference is pretty immaterial to the ultimate end game. But I think he will. I think he will absolutely do that. I think he's a charismatic guy. He's funny. And I think Memphis is going to fall in love very quickly with him.
I'm glad you stopped there just because I think it's so unfair and so silly, really, to be so out on this hire because you were so in on Jerry Mack, Dan Mullen. I mean, what were we talking about? I loved the idea of Dan Mullen last week. I thought, heck, yeah, go spend the money. Go make it worth it to him,
right,
in terms of what you can do in resources-wise. But the idea that you'd be, okay, in one of those camps, you get this, and you've decided today it's the wrong hire?
Right.
You can't do that. You have to give him the rights. And what sense does that make? It makes no sense. That's what children do. You cannot make that judgment at the top, at the start. You have to give him the chance. Y'all gave Ryan Silverfield 6 years.
That's right.
And you're about to give him a 7th.
That's right.
And you were basically, a lot of folks were fine with it. Let's be real, giving him another chance.
Yep.
And so you're going to judge this right off the top because you were in the game. What if, again, multiple things can be true. Multiple candidates can do a better job than Ryan Silverfield in the sense that you are making the conference championship and you are in the mix for the CFP.
Absolutely. I mean, I absolutely.
That is common sense 101.
Yes.
So the folks that, again, have decided this is the wrong hire, he's going to be awful, you can't do that and make any real sense. Give the man a chance. Again, look at who you just gave a chance to. Man, flip not making it in 6 years into an SEC job.
That's right.
It's going to be hard to be worse than that.
It is going to be hard.
It really is. I 6 years and not making it again with these resources?
That's right.
You will have talked about dropping the ball. That you will look at this Memphis program. At that point, you can say, boy, did they drop the ball at the wrong time. Maybe the last time they had to really make any noise.
Yep.
In terms of this, real specifically this college football landscape and how things are set up in terms of realignment.
I mean, this guy has won a conference championship.
Yeah, he did.
He's
that.
Done
I,
it.
I heard some people say, well, I didn't realize he won that at Marshall.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't win it the year he beat Notre Dame. He kept on building up.
No,
they disappointed after that, actually. I think it ended up winning 9 games. Comes back, wins the conference championship down there.
Yes.
And a lot of folks are saying, well, Marshall should have paid him. And so they decided both to go the separate ways. Don't know what all got into that.
For sure.
Clearly there's something there that Marshall decided was better to part ways. Boy, does that look like the wrong decision for them now.
I don't know what they've done since.
And as John said, Southern Miss was nothing when he got there. And I realized he finished second. You're not winning a conference championship your first year. But he had turned that around with the 7 wins. And so to your point, he's won everywhere he's been.
He won a bowl game at Marshall. He led them to the first Sun Belt championship ever, their first conference championship for any league in a decade. And then, of course, he was taking over a really bad situation at Southern Miss where you win one game the year before.
Yeah.
And then he, gets that all the way up to 7 the year after. So, I mean, I don't know how people don't.
But I'm not going to try to talk him up, and those folks that weren't on board or whatever try to talk him up so much and promise you that this guy's going to do a good job. That's fair.
Yeah, no.
We should all be in the same boat. Some of us more excited than others. Some of us believing more than others. But we should all be in the same boat of you've got to now give this guy the chance with these resources to maximize them.
Yeah, I mean,
particularly after this blessing that you've had, Ryan Silverfield getting the promotion.
That's exactly right. I mean, I just honestly
I think everybody should be excited about this. The guy's been a head coach for, you know, 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's won majorly at the level that he's been at. And look, Sunbelt is a real conference. I mean, just, you know, CUSA, I'll actually listen to that. Like, that's a joke of a league. It just is. Now, again, I think what Jerry Mack has done there is very impressive. But the Sun Belt is undeniably, there's just more money. There's more tradition there. Those programs are just better overall, right? So the fact that he's done that in a league that, in my view, is not really that much of a step down from the American in the Sun Belt.
Well, like, Billy Napier has done pretty well for himself out of it.
That's exactly right. Like, I think this is just, I'm excited about it. And I think, you know, we'll see what Hartline does, you know, in terms of his NIL budget. But I would guess right now, based on what Tulane is doing, that Memphis will be the preseason favorite in the American next year. I mean, that's what I truly believe. I think they'll look at the fact that Huff's been a sitting head coach.
That's why he's got over Hartline.
And also, Tulane hired the guy he replaced. What the hell are they doing down there?
Again, you're probably right that he'll be picked because of the resume, because of what he's done, the respect. We just talked about it in the industry. If it's going to be his peers in that poll, then yes, then you'd imagine. Now, last year you didn't do one, right?
That's true. Yes,
remember?
That's right.
Remember, they didn't want to mess up anything.
In terms of the market.
Last year was the first year they didn't do that preseason poll.
We'll have to use the market. Yeah.
But whether the market's got him one or two, because I do think there's a chance, John, again, if South Florida's spending 8 to 10,
absolutely.
You were spending five to six.
You're right.
That's not right behind to me. That's second, but not nearly as much. And so I'm just saying, if folks look at South Florida's roster and Heartline's got $10 million worth of roster there and you're sitting on 5.5.
No, you're right.
Okay, Chance, your odds there might have South Florida. Point being, with what you've got, you should be right there. This is the first time I'd read a number on Memphis and then to go with the Athletics roster number on South Florida.
Right.
And so it's the first, you know, South Florida reported Tulane Memphis right behind South, you know, right behind South Florida's 8 to 10 million. You didn't, you know, is that six? Is it seven?
Right.
Well, Dylan had 5 to 6 this weekend in his story about this hiring, and so it's a little bit less, I guess, than where my mind thought it was.
No, I mean, look,
that said, you should be 1-2. Back to your point.
That's a gap, but yeah, if you're top two, you finish top two, and that's what Silverfield was not doing, and that's why people were getting restless with Silverfield, and that's why people were excited that he left. You know, and the charge is going to be the exact same for Charles Huff that it was for Ryan Silverfield, right?
Exact same.
Top two. Make the conference championship game, win the conference championship game. Well, I mean, that, you know, at some point.
And you have to do it because new stadium. Again, this is the time for Memphis. It's trying to make its move and shift here. You know, I think permanently again, barring what happens if you ever get to another conference, but permanently into football.
Right.
And so you have to strike while the iron's hot, sort of being in this new stadium while you've got some juice. And,
that's right.
Otherwise, you may, again, miss that window forever.
Yes. So I like the hire. I think he's going to be successful at Memphis. I would tell any fans that do not like the hire, go watch a couple interviews. I mean, understand, like, look at what Tulane just did. Tulane just hired a failed coach. Like, Will Hall was objectively a failure at Southern Miss, and that's who they had to hire. You got a sitting head coach with a winning record who has won a conference championship and a real one, not like Cracker Jack Box Conference in the FCS. We're talking about like a real football league. He won it in 2024. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, again, I don't know what people thought. Dan Mullen was never really involved at all. There was no national report about it. There was no – that was an idea. We thought if he was gettable, you go. But it really seemed to be just that. And fans kind of went crazy with it and kind of got their hopes up about it. And – you know, you have to work within your realities. And I think with what was available to Memphis, I think Jerry Mack would have been a good hire. I think he would have brought the quarterback. It would have been good. But obviously they had a conviction about Charles Huff, and I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him on it because they were in that room, and I liked him to begin with in the process. So I'm in. I'm excited about it. And
good.
I look forward to Wednesday. I look forward to Wednesday. And Memphis fans, let's get involved. Let's do this, right? New stadium. You know, this is the time. This is the time to, but also, like, he's got to win. You know, I mean, in the end, the responsibility falls
to him. Yeah, I'm not making
any
promises for him today. That's what I'm not doing. I mean, the job's on him. We're waiting on somebody to come over. I would call him a sense of a sleeping giant. I don't care if he repeats it because you've been missing out on this opportunity for 6 years. You had made 3 straight conference championships. If you were doing that right now, nobody would be talking about Tulane, Boise State, or anything else.
Right.
I mean, I guess Boise State, yes. you know, I'm getting awfully passionate here. A couple of years ago, you didn't have a chance to beat them because of what they've done in the non-con in terms of the CFP. But you should have maximized this a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if I tell you what, if he comes in here and he doesn't, oh, man, boy, did you blow it. You know, from Ed Scott to everybody that said yes on this. Because you had an opportunity, again, it felt like, to really cement your spot. At least, if not as the team that should be the program that should be the next into the Power Four, certainly as the best thing outside of it, right, with this hire. And so, again, I just like we believe, and I'm excited about it, John, and I'm optimistic that it's going to go right. It could absolutely go wrong, and if you do, you have wrecked it. You have wrecked your opportunity.
Yeah.
That should be out there just the same way.
Yeah, no, high stakes. There's no doubt about that. So, Memphis football has made their choice. It is Charles Huff, and he'll be introduced on Wednesday. Memphis basketball got a big win. I mean, just I don't know if I'd call it season saving, but like you're clinging here. You are clinging to life, and you got one that you absolutely had to have against Baylor. So we'll get into that and more. And yes, people are mad. People are extremely upset about the fact that two Group of Five teams are going to the college football playoff, which, quite honestly, I feel is a bad development for the University of Memphis. We can get into all of that when we get back. Stick around. J&J, 92.9 FM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. There's really nothing funnier than Texas and Notre Dame sitting at home while Tulane and James Madison are going dancing. I got to say. Now, funny today, it may not be funny tomorrow is the issue here. So while I sit here and drink my wine and have my feast at the funeral of Notre Dame in Texas, Notre Dame, which took its ball and went home, by the way, I worry a little bit about the future ramifications it could have.
Right.
That was the big news yesterday. Miami in over Notre Dame, which personally, I think they should have been. Did you have any issue with that?
No. And we told you that the show is a show. And that's, of course, they want drama. They went back and corrected it at the end. This is why there shouldn't be a show, frankly, a weekly show leading into it. There should just, but ESPN has paid for this. Has paid the conferences to do this. It's part of the contract.
Yep.
So it's not going anywhere. They have to have something that's going to change so you'll keep tuning in every week, or something that you'll have outrage about so that you'll keep tuning in every week. And for the folks that, again, thought that Notre Dame should be ahead, how should you think they should be ahead? How should head-to-head not matter? Well, they come back and correct it at the end. If they just release this, there's no uproar because everybody thinks that Miami's ahead of Notre Dame because they head-to-head.
Exactly.
But they need the uproar, John. They need you talking about it and saying, this is wrong.
Right.
During the season. So we'll keep coming back to the actual show on Tuesdays.
Correct. People seem
this
to like
part of the drama. It's a soap opera.
I was like, are you guys just not like? Are you just ignoring the economics of this? Like, why would they end the show? The show is not for accuracy purposes. The show is simply just for conversation purposes and exposure purposes and ratings purposes and sponsor opportunities.
That's why they pay a great deal.
This is not ESPN something that they're going to stop doing just because of a controversial flip. Which, by the way, people change their minds all the time. I have no problem with it. Like, yeah, so what? I think it adds drama to it. Like, hey, we'll change the hell out of this. don't get comfortable now.
I don't know. It made you look less credible when you came back and fixed it behind the scenes, like we said you should have from the get-go.
Because they didn't play. Both teams were off, and Notre Dame was ahead, and then they weren't.
You lose credibility.
But see, that was wrong. So they corrected something that was wrong. I mean, that's... So,
if we thought it was wrong in the get-go, exactly. How can we be overly insensitive about it?
I kind of give them credit for making it right. But
you better.
You know, and some other people are saying, well, this is a bad, I don't know. I just felt like because Miami's and Notre Dame's resumes were basically identical and Miami did have the head-to-head win.
And that's why they're in.
Logically, how do I put Notre Dame in over Miami? I can't do it. I can't. I know it was week one, and I know, you know. And I'm also not going to penalize Alabama for playing a conference championship game.
I would say, again, Notre Dame, you're in the ACC and everything else. Get it in football and win the conference championship, and then you're in. Favoritism in the sense, listen, the commissioners agreed to it. They agreed to let Notre Dame have its way in this, but when it comes back to bite you now as not a conference championship, can't be mad about it. But that's what they are.
Yep.
Notre Dame is.
Exactly.
But they should be out.
They should be out.
Based on how the current form.
They didn't beat nobody, Paul.
Yeah, put football in the conference. You guys enjoy advantages as an independent. Well, here's a place where it hurts you.
Facts.
At being a football independent.
I bet you wish you had a conference championship.
But they'll change it for Notre Dame because for some reason, again, they've got all this favor because of the money, the value they bring in with all the other commissioners, ADs, presidents,
and
everybody else.
Massive brand. And I respect that. And that's why everybody's just in such an
This won't happen to them again.
They'll
put in a little caveat.
You're exactly right. It will not happen to them again, but it is delicious that it's happening right now,
I'm not
gotta
mad
say.
At it.
But yeah, I mean the whole thing was
and then Bama 3 loss, you know.
But again,
if you say you're essentially saying that conference championships at this point, you know, don't matter at all.
Right.
Right?
Well, because let me come back on that because
I guess the Big Ten one did because Indiana becomes number one.
But
I know Ohio State would say, oh, no.
The committee selectively applies that logic, obviously, because they say it mattered in the Big Ten because Indiana won the Big Ten championship, but they say it doesn't matter in the SEC because Alabama got a third loss and they're still in.
I'm just saying, if you're basically saying if you don't take them, that the conference championship.
Yeah, you're right.
You would rather not play that game.
Exactly.
You can't set that precedent.
No, you're right. You're right.
Or else conference championships, which, what are we talking about here? The conference commissioners and everything else, they're holding on those things dearly. There's tradition there, as the Nick Sabans and all that would say.
Yeah.
I would say it's a little less these days in college football of tradition.
Right.
But you'd be saying that did not matter. Yeah, Alabama should have stayed out.
Alabama, if they had...
Right, and say, well, we've already beat Georgia.
Right.
We're not going to play in a conference championship.
And
they would have had a gripe, if you're going to say a third loss there to a team they've already beaten in there in Georgia.
Exactly.
Was going to keep them out. So I don't think you could do that. It would have been setting a dangerous precedent in terms of what the future of these conference championships get. Many people saying they shouldn't. They don't matter already still with the way they're set up.
No, you're right. And I think that was the thing. It's like, you know, you have to be
I think they were stuck.
Cognizant of that.
Yes.
But, you know.
Alabama does have an ugly loss, though. You know, we did seem to forget about that.
Yeah, they got even that loss to Oklahoma, I feel like at home was a bad one.
Yeah.
Because I think it was basically, I think they were 7-point favorites in that one, just like they were 7-point favorites at Florida State. The other part.
I like that Notre Dame caught a taste of the upside. I shouldn't like it, but there you go. I mean, you guys enjoy so many other advantages being the independent.
My issue really with it is that I feel like we're not talking enough about Ohio State being ranked ahead of Georgia and even maybe Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Because
they won
the conference championships and Ohio State did not.
Mm-hmm.
right? So, like, we're do the conference championship games matter or do they not? I mean, because, again, it mattered for Indiana because they leapfrogged Ohio State.
Yeah, became the one seed.
But it didn't matter enough for Georgia when they won in blowout fashion, by the way, against another playoff team to not even leapfrog Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like, clearly Georgia's resume is better than Ohio State's.
Agreed.
Why are they third? And Ohio State is number two. I mean, again, it's not going to matter. But, like, I would just say, you can make a case for Ohio State should be fourth because they didn't win their conference championship. But, you know, again, I get it.
Up until this weekend, I still thought they were the best team in college football.
Yeah.
And I think many agreed.
And that's probably why. Like, there's there's a element of that to it. But anyway, yeah, whether they're second or fourth, it really is of no consequence. I mean, it's not like this is the, you know, NCAA tournament where there's 68 teams.
Back to where you started, because of your point, because you've got brands left out, you've got people like Jordan Rodgers on today on ESPN with Feinbaum saying group of five, group of six teams shouldn't be here unless there's some sort of line. They've made the top 10. There's something special going on. I'm not sure where he put the line, but his point was, we're getting tired of this. We've got brands that are getting left out.
Yep.
Texas, Notre Dame, but it's time to bump out the little guy. And that is a sentiment that I think many folks today, especially those at those brands, will feel and appreciate him saying and get with, and you just wonder. You know, you wonder, John came on talking about it, Memphis's spot, group of five, group of six spot. We should start calling it a group of six. That's what we're going to – that's the language.
Yes.
Whether that's going to be there because of how fired up folks are about this. And, again, you look at it, what's going to happen in those games? We've already seen Tulane and Ole Miss, and then JMU's going to get run off the field.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't help you in terms of, this is special
I do.
Jordan Rodgers' point, I've seen this already.
Right.
I don't need to see it again because I know what's going to happen. I specifically know what's going to happen in Tulane Ole Miss. I've already seen it this season.
Right.
And
right.
People are going to hear that.
Oh,
they did
are.
This morning, and they're going to get fired up. And they're going to be, that's right. We don't need those little guys.
Yep.
So I hate that this is coming out of it, even though I'm kind of slick grinching it about Notre Dame being out.
No, you're right.
That, you know, you wonder if this could be is expansion. You know, going to another number, what you ultimately come out, and you still do leave that access.
That's probably
because you don't want the war,
right?
In terms of court, everything else, it sounds like that antitrust that could be, and you leave that little spot, but you've expanded, which I don't think is necessarily required here. It's not required here. Do you think we need to go to expansion?
I think we probably just will go to expansion just to play. I would rather go to expansion than the other route. Right, contract and leave the group of five out, or even try to even entertain that because people are so mad. And I do like if I take away my allegiance to, as a Memphis graduate and a Memphian, I get it. I mean, Tulane is going to be It's going to be bloody with James Madison as well. Like there is an element of like we haven't even mentioned Vandy. I mean, Vandy should be in this discussion of being left out. Mm-hmm. Honestly, to me, over Texas, for example, maybe even Notre Dame because. What Vandy has done, I think that, I mean, their wins are better than anything Notre Dame has done. Their wins are better than anything Texas has done. Didn't they beat Texas?
Vandy.
No, Texas won that one. Okay, so.
Vandy's big win is, you're looking at their schedule?
Yeah. So Vandy is, Vandy beat Tennessee at Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not, they were saying that they're no longer, they were holding that against them, basically, saying Tennessee, that win doesn't mean as much as it used to.
Oh, yeah,
that's not their big one.
They beat Missouri. They beat LSU. They beat South Carolina at South Carolina. I mean, they beat Auburn. I guess that's
their best one's Mizzou.
Yeah, and none of those teams are still ranked, unfortunately. If they beat Texas, they're probably in, right? And that's the problem. That's what kept them out.
Yep. But
Tennessee was supposed to be their best win, and then you know, obviously, Tennessee is just not.
Didn't help you.
Yeah, they're unranked now, but I mean, that was an impressive win, man. It truly
and
was
a great season.
And LSU was an impressive win at the time. Like that's the thing is like you don't know how it's all gonna shake out by the end of it when you play these games in September and October. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that was basically a pick 'em there. It wasn't like it was any kind of you know, LSU had already checked out of the season and things like that. Everybody was. I remember leading up to that game, everybody was like, Nussmeier's getting healthier, the defense is getting better, whatever. But the point is that people are just going to be calling for these JMUs, these two lanes, et cetera,
well,
not
ACC's
to have a spot
fault,
at the table.
The mess that the ACC was. I mean, it was a hot mess this year.
Yes.
Miami should be in, but let's be real. In terms of the ACC champion, it didn't.
Both teams that played for the championship game are not
in it. They're hot garbage.
And another team is. Another team from the ACC that didn't make the title game is in the playoff.
Don't get mad at JMU or Memphis. You know that the inclusion of them, get mad at the ACC for being the watered down garbage of a conference was, that it didn't produce a better champion.
Yeah,
now that's you'd be mad at that.
Yeah, no, it was a bad year for the ACC, man. There was a real opportunity that,
bro, Clemson should be shamed.
Absolutely,
like in their coach, what's happened in the ACC this year.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Virginia,
I do believe Miami deserved to be in because of what they accomplished early on in the season.
Right.
But they did. I mean, that's what Cristobal does, though. His teams drop the ball down the end. I mean, you barely made it.
Yeah. Yeah. Barely made it. And we'll see. I mean, they're a dangerous 10 seed. We know when they're playing great football that they can hang, but I don't know.
They usually let go of the rope in November under Mario, and we need to see different from them.
We have gone 46 minutes today without mentioning the greatest to ever do it, Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah.
4-point underdog in Indianapolis here, Ohio State.
Google me.
Your quarterback, Fernando Mendoza.
I don't know why you say he's mine. My quarterback lost to Green Bay yesterday.
I guess he's going to be mine, huh? The way we keep losing? I mean, we're going to have to take somebody. I mean, Geno's getting hurt. He sucked anyway. Indiana beats Ohio State, wins the Big Ten championship outright. I believe that's their first title since 1945 in the Big Ten. I mean, it's just simply incredible what that man has done at Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and he's their coach. He's not going anywhere.
That's right.
That's what's awesome.
He signed that thing in season. He said, I ain't even playing about this.
Yep.
And obviously it helps when you have a top two pick probably at quarterback in Mendoza who, you know, he gets hurt on the first play of the game. You're kind of like, oh, no, is this the way it's going to go for them? But he ended up gutting it out, and he made a huge throw on third down to ice the game, basically.
For me, so you end up outplaying Saiyan, who everybody's, in love with.
Yep.
And what a game by him. But to me, it's just as much a story, if not more so, Indiana's defense.
Absolutely.
Man, Ohio State's got best roster money can buy.
Yep.
And they're supposed to have a pretty hot OC, right? And Heartline, everything else. You just got hired by South Florida, and you mustered 10 points.
Yep.
I mean, them some dogs. It's not just good coaching in terms of Cignetti. They got some dogs, man, to be able to hold Ohio State. It was less than 60 yards rushing. I mean, what are you doing to Ohio State? They have not won a conference title since 2020. It's like, how is that possible?
Wow.
Ohio State has not won the conference crown since 2020.
They lost to Michigan last year?
Oh, yes.
Wow. How about that? I didn't realize that.
Ohio State still hasn't won a conference crown since 2020.
But they'll say, like, you know.
No, this is why we used to say Ryan Day needed to move on from Ryan Day until he got it done last year winning the Natty.
That's right. That's right.
But it's nuts to think that. Now, they've moved up in terms of what they're spending the last 2 years, right? It was $20 million last year. I don't know what the roster is this year.
Yeah.
But they've gone up considerably. But to not have, you know, to lose to Indiana when I thought you were the best team in the country. And you had some dogs on D, which they do.
Yeah,
Indiana outplayed them in every facet, from quarterback to defense.
Yep.
And Cignetti deserves all the credit.
I loved watching it. I mean, that's just good coaching. I know they have Big Ten money, but I don't think they're flush with it. I truly don't, in terms of roster and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were down, I believe, at the half. You know, they stayed with it. You know, never let the game get away from them, and they're Big Ten champs. So
you said, and Georgia was impressive, obviously.
Georgia really impressive. Nobody's really talking about them.
Right.
It feels like
that's why I say it. He's really got them playing well now.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot of teams that can win it. It feels like, honestly. I mean, Oregon can win it. Why not? I mean, we just don't watch them that much, but like they have an NFL quarterback. Dan Lanning's a good one. Now I will say he gets in these high leverage games.
Yeah.
And this is kind of where they have faltered. But, I mean, I think Oregon's live. I think, you know, you get like Oklahoma to me. Oklahoma stinks. I think Alabama beats them in the first round. Don't really have much of an opinion on A&M. Ole Miss obviously should take care of business against Tulane.
What is that line?
We 16 have it and a half. No.
Yeah, and then what's the JMU line?
That one I don't know. But I imagine it's going to be even more than that, because you know they're just was it JMU Oregon? I remember like there was like a Oregon Liberty game, you know, a couple of years ago. I don't know if it might have been the playoff. I can't remember, But Oregon absolutely destroyed them. It was like 64 to 10 or something. So I'm, you know, is this going to go that way? I don't know. 21 is the number. So there you
go. It's going to give Jordan Rodgers and his, you know, fired up folks band a whole bunch of ammo to say, mm-hmm. get them out.
Yeah, Fiesta Bowl was 45-6. Liberty came in. They were undefeated. You know, they had the whole swag, the quarterback, and Oregon just put those screws to them.
What was the – was it 13-10? Indiana, Ohio State.
Yes.
That's what they lost last year in Michigan.
Yep. That's the old Ohio State Big Ten score, brother. Yeah, they didn't do enough. They did not do enough. I mean, they had chances. Ohio State did. But
does Hartline call the plays?
I didn't look into that. I don't think it'd be Ryan
to get
Day.
To get a head coaching job.
Yeah.
You figure.
Yeah.
He's calling the
plays. And I think that's a little bit of a word of caution.
Well,
because
that's what I'm saying.
He's got Ohio State players at Ohio State, and he's going to have South Florida players at South Florida.
I mean, shout out to Signetti in that defense, but that's the best. Yeah, that's I would say disappointing. If I'm South Florida, I'm watching that, and I only mustered 10 points.
Yes.
In this game.
Yes.
Against Indiana.
I'll put it to you like this. Who
should be better with that level of talent?
I have a coordinator who has an unlimited budget at Ohio State, who has the best players, Jeremiah Smith, Saiyan, et cetera. And he's dropping down to a lower level conference with a lower budget. And then I have a coach who's at a lower level school who's winning with players that aren't making the most money. And now he's jumping up with more. Like, who am I betting on? I'm betting on the guy that's jumping up, not the guy that's jumping down, because he's going to come into this. It's like, you know, people used to talk about Frank Harris at LSU all the time. They're like, you know, he's this great recruiter. He's all these things, you know. And then he goes to, you know, a head coaching job, and he gets a head coaching job at a lower level conference, and he doesn't do anything. He can't, because guess what? He ain't at LSU anymore. And Brian Hartline's not going to be at Ohio State anymore. So we'll see. But, you know, people in Memphis were really quick to, you know, laud the – and he might be good. But I'm just saying, like, it's – let's see. Because when you have an Ohio State budget, anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And while he'll have a good one at South Florida, it ain't going to be that.
Right.
So we have to wait and see, man. We have to wait and see on that. So, but yeah, I just hope that I really hope that nothing happens to the format, because that would be a bad beat for Memphis.
12 is perfect, to be honest with you. I do feel like we're ultimately headed for a larger number, just because when you talk about dollar signs, and in the end, that's what it'll be about.
Yes.
But I think right now it's the right number. There's an you know, a sort of, I don't know, there's enough teams out, but not enough teams out, I think, to warrant right now going to 16.
Yep.
But enough teams out that you got a little uproar about it. It's you know,
yep.
It's a dance now. 12. You only get, you know, some are going to get left out. That's what you want. You want,
yep,
people mad,
right,
that they're left out. And I think that means you got a good number. You go to 16, you just wonder if you water it down a little bit. There's some teams left out that you wouldn't have mind,
like,
seeing in a playoff.
Notre Dame
would obviously be in. Texas would probably
Texas
be
probably
in.
Texas might be in over Vandy, because they have the head-to-head.
And that's why eventually we will go there, because of those brands and the names and the money that will come there. But right now, I'm fine with those teams out. Like we just went through, Vandy's best win is, we said, Mizzou, because a lot of these teams let down. And so do they really deserve to be there? I'm fine with it, mm-hmm, that they're not. So that's why I like the 12 number, but ultimately I'll be ready to let it go, I'm sure, when the dollar signs.
That's right. By the way, Memphis football, we know where they will be. They will be in the Gasparilla Bowl against NC State Friday the 19th, I believe.
My salute to Reggie.
Thank you, Reggie.
Reggie Howard, interim coach over there.
That's right. One last go for Brendan Lewis, Cortez Bram, and the gang. Assuming they play. I mean, you know, all these teams are...
Those guys that don't have any more eligibility left, I don't know why they wouldn't.
Right.
And it means something to Brendan Lewis. It means something, assuming, to Cortez as well. So, again, those guys are going to put forth a major effort in their last game.
Yep.
So, we'll be paying attention still.
Yeah, and football's different,
we're already,
right,
talking,
like,
in the future.
If you're playing basketball, like, there are other avenues to play basketball. You can go overseas, you can go do G League, you can do a lot of things, right, basketball. Football, when it's over, bro, it's really over for you. Like, there's no, I mean, I guess you could try the UFL thing, but who knows how much longer that will be around. We are getting an arena football league in Memphis.
Yeah,
Tim Brown told you that. Well, are you going to have a name for it, or what?
No.
I mean, I'd go after Dan Mullen on this one. See if we can get him to come coach our team.
Good luck. He's making a lot of money at UNLV.
Let's see. I don't know if we will pay the coach in the Arena Football League. It may be on a volunteer basis. But we got that coming. But yeah, when it's over in football. So you think those guys got it? Absolutely.
Brennan Lewis and Cortez Bram were good enough to be and should have been in a conference championship game. Is that Memphis defense that went from the 50s at its highest point back down to the 70s. It slid off. And one that we were praising there for a while, that again is the reason you were out. You didn't get those stops against Tulane. You came out, got hit in the mouth. It happened against UAV. You can talk about the quarterback going down in those games, but you got off to bad starts defensively in both. That defense led off down the stretch, and that ultimately is why you're not there. But it's why I will support Brennan Lewis and Cortez Bram in their final game because those guys were soldiers this year. They should have been in a conference championship.
I mean, it got Alex Morton's in the
they
job.
They were absolute studs.
They ended up hiring him.
Yeah, I saw that. That's...
You know, they hired the Presbyterian coach. That was the news, and then something changed, and then they ended up just promoting Alex Morrison to full time. He won one game, and it was against Memphis. That was enough.
In which now SEC coach said that he was out coached in the game.
That's
by
crazy,
Alex.
I guess that's
on
true
on the interim basis. Then
maybe they saw that Arkansas hired Silver. Like, hey man, we got something here.
So Silverfield beat Arkansas. They hired him.
Yep.
UAB beat Memphis, and they keep
right. That's right. So. Anyway, lots of action in college football over the weekend, and let's just hope that nothing changes in terms of the access. I know there are lots of bad actors out there that want to change it, and I also say I understand because those teams are going to get the floor, you know, they're going to get wiped the floor with. But at the same time,
give me expansion before you butt us out.
Agreed.
Come on, we can go another route here.
Agreed.
While I believe 12 is a good number, please let us expand first before you go start bumping us out as the first option.
I thought it was going to 16.
I think we've always held thought that it will eventually go to 16.
Yeah.
But there isn't a plan in right now that says it's going to 16.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I think that deal comes up.
Even some conferences have proposed 24. Isn't that crazy?
The Athletic wrote this morning that the college football playoff format is obsolete. See, like, you're already, like, seeing, like,
dude, I'm about to tell you, Jordan Rogers was attacking certainly the Group of Five access part, Group of Six access part of it this morning on ESPN, and Feinbaum was agreeing with him. We're talking about a guy that knows Memphis, and he's ready to cut us out.
Because what ends up happening, right, is it just pushes those SEC teams and those Big Ten teams, you know, more toward not in being involved with the current whole, the holistic landscape, like this whole secession, right? Like, it just kind of feels like it pushes that more and more towards the forefront. That's what you worry about, is that if
you had more than one good team in the ACC and the ACC had won its championship and that team's ranked, JMU's not in. You're holding that, the ACC's sorriness, against these Group of Five teams, Group of Six teams that are going to get slaughtered first round. But you should be looking again at your power conferences, the mess that the ACC was, not taking it out on the Group of Five teams, the Group of Six teams, looking at what the real culprit of that is.
Yep.
And it is. Here's the reason, and one thing Jordan did agree on. Listen, you have more programs interested. You have more programs involved in college football. Your interest level is up. More fan base is paying attention because of the access point there. That's a good thing for the fabric of college football, for more people to care. In the end, that affects dollars, which is ultimately the end-all, be-all. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
By having that Group of Five point, you've got all these conferences, going to be six. All of those fan bases are saying, we got a chance. That's more interest. It's more dollar signs. It's good for college football.
Definitely.
And so to X that off this year because the ACC was weak, right, or because you feel like these brands are getting left out, no. Notre Dame, join a freaking conference. Put the football program in the ACC. Stop enjoying all the advantages. They shouldn't be in, John.
Yep.
They should be in if they won the ACC championship. The rest of the sports do it.
Yep.
But we give them this independence. Those factors with the big dogs, you're gonna use those and turn them against us to push the little guy out. It's the wrong thing to do when essentially, I mean, you have more interest. College football is better when you have, because of that access point, more are involved saying, I'm a part of that.
Yep.
So why would you not want it?
Yep. Well, let's hope that spot stays.
You're cutting off your nose, spite your face.
But I think there will be a push. You know, I'm sure they have explored every option legally they can to remove it.
They'll expand, I think, before they'll bump us out because the court, the antitrust, all that stuff.
If it ever changed, that would significantly impact, I think, the future, right, for just what is possible with Memphis Athletics. But I guess we can have that conversation if and when.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.